You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the latest edition of Bunce's Boxing Podcast here with William Hill. It's Dave Kellner filling in for Lee Phelps this weekend. And as ever, we've got Steve Bunce, the legend, on the line now as we get set for a fun weekend in the world of boxing. Terry Flanagan versus Derry Matthews is the big fight on Saturday night at the Echo Arena in Liverpool, and we'll talk about that in a few moments' time. But first of all, it's a warm welcome to Steve Bunce. How are you doing, Buncey?
Dave, I'm doing absolutely fantastic. I wish I was fresh from a return trip from Grozny, where one of the world heavyweight titles took place last weekend, because anybody that can say, yeah, I've just got back from Grozny, is a friend of mine.
Yeah, it was a classic, wasn't it? Lucas Brown becoming the first heavyweight champion from Australia. Big shock as well, beating Ruslan Chagaev in Russia as well, Bunce. Some night for
him.
Yeah,
madness. Well, it was mad because big Lucas, I mean, he's a lovely fellow. He's managed by Ricky Hatton. He's got enormous heart, enormous bravery, enormous gut, enormous shoulders, and an enormous head. Ruslan Chagaev could barely miss the head for 9.5, nearly 10 rounds. In fact, he dropped Lucas in the sixth round and he was gone. I mean, he wasn't hurt. He was gone. He was down. And then he was cut across his eye and he had this enormous cut right in the middle of his head, like he'd been in some kind of bizarre initiation, blood riot. And he was gone. And he needed the, going into the 10th round, he needed the proverbial knockout. However, there's 7,000 people being led, chanting was being led from ringside by the president of Chechnya, a guy called Ramzan Kadyrov. And he was actually leading the chanting and patting Ruslan on the leg between rounds. And somewhere, somehow, and this is what boxing's like, and this is what heavyweight boxing's like, he found the big right hand. It's like, it sounds like a cliche. It sounds like a joke. It sounds like a line from Hollywood. And he knocked out and silenced the crowd in the 10th round to become this most improbable of things. Man that holds one of the versions of the heavyweight title. But one thing I like about Big Daddy Brown, in addition to being brave and gutsy, is he's honest. And he put a tweet out once he landed back in Sydney, and it took him about 5 days to get home. Once he landed back in Sydney, he put a tweet out, and he said, listen, he said, I hold a version of the world title. He said, but I'm ranked about number 8. And he said, I guess that's fair. So he's an honest, straightforward man. And I tell you what he'll bring. He'll give us some excitement this year, because win or lose, Lucas Big Daddy Brown, make sure that you know you've been in a fight.
And Bunce has said that he only wants to fight title holders now after becoming Australia's first heavyweight champion. He's going to get a look in, isn't he?
Yeah, of course he is, because what you've got all sorts of people. We've got Deontay Wilder holds the WBC version. Tyson Fury, of course, holds the WBA and the IBF version, the serious version. And then there's also the IBF, rather, is held by Charles Martin, who's about to fight Anthony Joshua. And then there's a guy called Luis Ortiz that holds another version of the WBA title. He'll get a look in with one of those four or five as the year progresses. And here's the thing, I'm not being mean. They'll all look at him, all those champions, Charles Martin, Ortiz, Wilder and Fury, and think he's an easy touch. And that's what Ruslan Chagaev did, and that's the mistake he made. So it's going to be a very interesting year or so in the heavyweight. So we've been talking about this since about last November, yep. Lee and I, and I've said that next year, not only will it be entertaining, I think there'll be more heavyweight title fights, some of them a little bit absurd, in 2016 than in any other year period. In fact, this is a stat you're going to like. This year, we stay on course the way we're going at the moment. I know there's four versions of the title, and in the 60s, there were only two versions of the title. There'll be more heavyweight title fights in 2016 than there were than took place in the 1960s.
Wow.
How about that one?
That's a quality stat, Bunce.
That's going to happen. If we carry on this rate, that's going to happen.
That's what we needed with the fight scene as well, didn't we? Because years and years of the Klitschko brothers dominating, this is getting more and more exciting with every bout.
Absolutely. Now, listen, here's the thing. Would a proper fit and slightly younger Klitschko beat all of them? Yes. But that's not the way it works. Because if we work on that theory, then we don't get out of the 30s and the 40s with Joe Louis. We don't get out of the 50s with Marciano or the 60s with Ali. You have to move on. And all you have to be, you don't have to be the best fighter of all time. You just have to be the best fighter of your time. And right now, the four or five guys that have got versions of the title, they're all the best available fighters of their time. Let's hope by the end of the year, we haven't got five or six guys holding the belt. Let's hope we've only got a couple, because that might set us up for some kind of super fight in 2017. It's good. It's exciting. It's fun.
It is. And that win, Brown's win in Russia came on a big night of fight shocks. I know you were having a bit of back and forth with some UFC fans out there who say that's the game that's dominating now, Bunsey. What's your response to that?
Well, listen, you know, what happens is the UFC fans have officially got the thinnest skin in the world. So if you want to really annoy a UFC fan, you just put a tweet out saying something like, I'm just about to go and try on my new skin-tight UFC shorts. Then you go out for breakfast, and you come back, and 10,000 of them have sent you really outrageously nasty tweets. That's the way they work. They've got thin skin. What happens? Their number one man, Conor McGregor, last week moved up some weight like no other fighter has done that in history. The way they have invented it, he's the only man that's ever gained 3 pounds at a fight. But what his real crime wasn't gaining the weight. His real crime wasn't his ego. That's fine. His real crime was imagining and thinking the fight was going to be easy. So every time he hit his opponent with a jab, he laughed. Every time he kicked the guy in the shin, he laughed as if to say, ha, 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 this is going to be easy. And then what happened is, of course, he tapped out in about 2 seconds. An hour earlier, in the same octagon, Holly Holm had tapped out in the fifth round, but she didn't tap out. She just collapsed. She was put into the same chokehold, and she let herself go unconscious. And so Conor McGregor talked a great fight, got in there, smiled every second, and then blew up. He was absolutely knackered after just one round, and he gave in. Let's get it right. He went to the mat, and I know a little bit about the UFC, with a jiu-jitsu expert. What, is he crazy? He went to the mat with a jiu-jitsu. I tell you what, it's like me having a competition with Usain Bolt. I've got two options. One option is to do 5 minutes of live radio, and the other race I can have with Usain Bolt is over 100 meters. What am I going to do? I'm going to challenge Usain Bolt to 5 minutes on radio. Bang, I'm going to beat Usain Bolt. So what did he do, Conor McGregor? He went to the mat with a jiu-jitsu guy. 20 seconds later, he was tapping out. And I'll be honest with you, I was critical of that because that's just dumb.
Yep.
In any sport, that's dumb. Anyway, we move on. Oh, God, I tell you what, though, whisper it. Didn't the UFC people bite? Everything I said, they bit. Oh.
You were getting pelters, Bunsey.
Oh, it was beautiful, wasn't it?
Let's get stuck into this weekend then, because a big fight weekend at the Echo Arena, and we'll talk about Flanagan versus Matthews in a few moments' time. But a few of the title fights on the undercard are lopsided.
Yeah, it's the way we've been having fights. You know, we've had some bills where the main events are 100-1.
Yeah.
You know, the guy, I mean, which is, you know, some of the Anthony Joshua fights, they've been 100-1. You know, what we've got here is we've got a whole series of decent fighters, you know, going through the motions. Tommy Langford is in a decent middleweight title fight, some sort of intercontinental against a guy called Lewis Taylor. The reason why that will work is they're both British, so there'd be a little bit of pride at stake. Paul Butler should come through comfortably. A guy called Zoloni Tetti, a South African, he should come through comfortably. But there's an interesting English cruiserweight title fight on the bill between a guy called Matty Askin, who was fouled at a higher level, but he's still a winner. He's only lost 3 out of his 23 fights. And he's a good fighter against a young kid who was a dominant young amateur, who's only 8-0, a guy called Simon Barkley. Now, this one may not make TV, unfortunately, because there's so many fights on and Box Nation are going live at 5 o'clock, but this one might miss out. It's one of those fights where it's a massive risk by Barclays people. So this will actually turn into a good fight. But the rest of the guys on the bill, Ryan Farag, Kevin Satchel, Leon Woodstock, Macaulay McGowan, Delpha Barrett, Vijender Singh, you know what? If you want a massive accumulator, lop on a lot of them. So lop on. If you wanted a fun one, Tommy Langford to win, Paul Butler to win, Zoloni Tete to win, Vijender Singh to win, Ryan Farag, Satchel, Leon Woodstock, Macaulay McGowan, Delpha Barrett, if you can get odds. And then the tricky bet, the one that would make you a few quid, is Simon Barkley. If you did that as about a 9-fight act, you've got to get a couple of quid.
Simon Barkley, he's a big price bunsy as well here. 4-1 to beat Matty Askin, who's 1-6. The draw's 22-1.
Now, this is a real big ask. It's a massive ask for Barkley, but he's bold, he's brave, and he's in a hurry. And he might just have got Matty Askin. He's not that old. He's only a year older. He might just have got him at the right time. It's a terrific fight. And in any other boxing universe, that would be the top of a bill in a venue that holds, say, 12 or 1,500. It's a really, really good fight. It's a nice, so if you could get odds on all those others, which you probably can't, the Simon Barclay gives you just that little bit of sex appeal.
Terry Flanagan versus Derry Matthews, then the big one, the WBO lightweight title on the line in this matchup. And Terry Flanagan is 1-7 to win the bout. The draw 25-1. Derry Matthews in the betting at 9-2. Flanagan, perfect record, 29-0, with 12 coming by way of knockout. Derry Matthews has a record of 38-9-2, and he's had 20 of his wins coming by knockout. How do you expect this fight, first of all, Bunsey, to develop in terms of style?
Well, the interesting thing is that Derry's going into this fight. This will be his 50th fight. And I was talking to some people this week. We can't think of a guy, a British guy, in a world title fight who's having his 50th fight.
Yeah.
It's so many fights. You know, the average now, I mean, for instance, Anthony Joshua is having a world title fight, I think, in his 16th fight or his 17th fight. Generally, it's 23, 24. Even in the 70s, it was still only 37 or 38 fights. This guy's having a world title fight in his 49th fight. And what's more, it's a fight. The odds maybe don't suggest it's that much of a fight, but it is a fight. However, there's just a chance that Flanagan, who in his last two fights, when he started as a betting underdog against unbeaten Mexican Jose Zepeda and a guy called Diego Magdaleno, and he smashed the two of them in two rounds each, and they were good fighters. On paper, they were better than him. And I just have a feeling he's on a run. He's the form lightweight, not just in Britain, not just in the Northwest, not just in Britain, but I think he's the form lightweight in the world. I really do. And I just think Derry, forget his age, 32, because in boxing years, he's a lot older. I just think he might find himself trying everything he can for a couple of rounds and then realising he's got to go for it. And there's an expression which I can't use on a podcast. He may just have to go for it. And I think he could come unstuck having to go for it, knowing that if he carries on like he's trying to do, which he'll be trying to outsmart and then out-hustle Flanagan every now and again with bursts, it's not going to work. Terry's too strong, and he's more than that. He's got momentum, and there's nothing like momentum in any sport, whether it's greyhound racing or whether it's tiddlywinks or whether it's chess. Once you get momentum, you've got a massive advantage, and Derry doesn't have momentum. Flanagan does, and I just have a feeling Derry might try a few things in the first couple of rounds, realise he's got to go for it, because he can bang. You know, he's won fights that he's lost, if you know what I'm saying. You know, he's been 9.5 rounds down and knocked people out in the dying seconds of the last round, the 10th round. He's done that. He's capable of that. I don't think that's the case tomorrow night at the Echo. I just think Derry's going to find himself pushed, going to find himself hurt, going to find himself taking risks. I think that's going to be his undoing. I just fancy Flanagan. I fancy Flanagan between about 5 and about 7. Five and eight. I tell you what, it will be a terrific fight until that point. And there'll just come a point when Derry will know, he's not stupid, that he'll be 6 rounds down going into round 8. He'll give it another go, and that'll be it, I think. So about 5-8.
These two will be amped up to the max as well, because that will be some atmosphere in the Echo Arena. Mancunian versus Liverpoolian.
Yeah, exactly, especially with, you know, this week as well with the football.
Yeah.
And also, that's an interesting arena, the Echo, because even though it's a modern arena, it shapes up like an old arena, if you know what I mean. It's not a modern arena that seems modern and tinny. So you get a few thousand in there.
Okay.
And they seem to be close on your neck. It's really odd. So you can create a good atmosphere there. Plus, Liverpool is England's greatest fight city. Britain's greatest fight city is Belfast. In fact, Belfast is the greatest fight city in the world. People might say, what about New York? What about Vegas? Forget it. Belfast is the greatest fight city in the world. It's the only city in the world where a 15-year-old kid that's just won the youth championships can walk down the street and cabbies will bib their horns and put their thumbs up.
Yeah.
It's the only city in the world where that can happen. But Liverpool is not far behind it. So they know they're boxing. They know their stuff. there is being a great fighter, a great servant, as we say. I just think he might fall short yet tomorrow. Try everything and get done sometime in rounds 5, 6, I don't know, 6, 7, and 8, something like that.
Round 6 to Flanagan is 12-1. Flanagan in round 7, 12-1. Flanagan in round 8, 14-1. You can bet on the method of result here with William Hill as well. Terry Flanagan by knockout, technical knockout or disqualification. 4-6 he is, odds on. Big boost on the 1-7 he is to win the fight, though. So have a look at those bets here with William Hill. Bunsey, you'll be back for the Kell Brook bout, which is in a couple of weeks' time on the 26th. That should be a belter.
Yeah, listen, you know, and Kel's a guy that is really one fight away from being a massive star. I mean, a massive star. You know, he did that. He went over to America, you know, 18, 19, 20 months ago now, almost, and pulled off a great shot to win the title. And he just hasn't quite cashed in.
Yeah.
But don't worry, he's relaxing. He's young. He's young at heart, Kel, in the sense that all he's done really all his life is train and prepare for boxing.
Yes.
So he hasn't had a hard life. There's not a lot of, you know, if you look at him, you look at him in a certain light, he looks like he's 21 still. So don't worry. Kel's got plenty of miles on the clock. And I'll be shocked. I'll be shocked if in that 2017, 2018, 2019, we're not still talking about Kel Brook in big fights. I think he's got 3 or 4 good years left.
Why hasn't he cashed in yet, Bunce? Is it because he doesn't talk as much as some of the others?
Well, no, he's a decent talker, but he got involved in that ridiculous incident where he got his leg slashed, you know, 6 weeks after winning the world title. He nearly died. He lost, you know, pints and pints of blood in that assault at 4 o'clock in the morning. And then he had an injury running. So then he had two defenses that didn't quite work. He barely broke a sweat. Stopping a guy from, I think, Romania. And then, of course, Frankie Gavin from Birmingham. He never broke a sweat in those fights, and he missed out on this fight, and he missed out on that fight. It's just a bit of bad luck. It can happen, you know, but fortunately he's got good people around him, Dominic and Brendan and John Ingle in Sheffield, and he's in great shape now. I saw him just the other day, actually. He's in fantastic shape now. His head's in the right place more than that. His leg's healed from, you know, hundreds and hundreds of stitches being inserted after the machete attack, and I just think we'll have a good year for him. Now, he could end up having 3 fights in a year. One of them will be a big one. And then, as I say, I think he's got a lot of legs.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I think we've got 2017, 18, even into 19. I mean, we've got a good three years out of it.
If you want to follow Bunsey on Twitter, if you're a UFC fan, he loves to hear from you. at Big Daddy Bunce is Bunce's Twitter handle. You can follow myself at D Kellner, and we'll be back for the Kell Brook bout, which is on the 26th. Thank you, Bunsey. Fun chat.
Pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.